Wildfire smoke is blanketing the state and causing severe health hazards in parts of northern Wisconsin. It's Thursday, July 16th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning. I'm Courtney Everett. Coming up on the show today, Governor Tony Evers says he'll appeal a Trump administration decision that denied four Wisconsin counties disaster aid. Plus, a year after Northland College closed, donors and the college are at odds over how the school spent their funds.
We threw everything into these two scholarships in terms of keeping his memory alive. So it's like a gut punch.
Stay with us.
Wisconsin Public Radio stays connected with the whole state thanks to its network of 8 bureaus. With reporters on the ground across Wisconsin, WPR provides a news service that connects with issues that matter to your life. Stay in touch with WPR.
Wildfire smoke from fires blazing in Canada and Minnesota will blanket much of Wisconsin this week. As Daniel Kading reports, northern Wisconsin is already seeing hazardous levels of air pollution.
Smoke blocked the sun from view as it drifted over Duluth Superior. Wildfires in Canada and northeast Minnesota have led to very unhealthy and hazardous levels of soot pollution across northern Wisconsin. Superior's Ellen Kreidler says she kept ducking into the city's library to escape the smoke.
After like 5-10 minutes, you start to feel like your eyes are burning and your throat hurts, and it's pretty bad.
Monitors showed air quality index readings for soot pollution around 600 or more. That's double levels considered hazardous. At those levels, regulators urge people to avoid spending time outdoors if possible. Smoke will continue to move south through Wisconsin, and air quality will range from unhealthy for sensitive groups to very unhealthy for everyone. An air quality alert remains in effect through around midday Thursday. Daniel Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Governor Tony Evers plans to appeal the Federal Emergency Management Agency's denial of public assistance for four counties impacted by storms that hit the state in April. Thunderstorms, heavy rain, and tornadoes caused widespread damage across the state. FEMA approved individual assistance for residents of 19 counties and the Oneida Nation, as well as public assistance for 9 counties and the Oneida Nation. But public assistance for Bayfield, Manitowoc, Marathon, and Racine counties was denied. Megan Corderer is the director of Bayfield County Emergency Management. She says many smaller towns in that county have small budgets.
The denial here means that more of their local levy budget is going to be utilized to cover the cost from the storm damage that we had this spring.
A letter from a FEMA official said the damage to infrastructure in the four counties was, quote, not of the severity and magnitude to warrant their designation for public assistance. Wisconsin's prisons are over capacity by thousands of people. As Sarah Lear reports, protesters rallied yesterday outside the state's corrections headquarters to call for a reduction in Wisconsin's prison population.
There are more than 23,000 adults locked up in Wisconsin prisons, and that number is approaching a record high. Yolanda Perkins says the effects of overcrowding are even more severe during extremely hot conditions.
Basic dignity is being stripped away, piece by piece. Limited showers, limited movement, limited privacy.
Perkins, a formerly incarcerated activist, was one of several dozen people who gathered outside the Department of Corrections headquarters in Madison. The protesters are calling for changes, including an end to crimeless revocations. That's when someone is sent back to prison for violating a parole condition rather than committing a new crime. Sarah Lear, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A DOC spokesperson blamed Wisconsin lawmakers for rejecting prison reforms that have been proposed by Governor Tony Evers. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has used restitution from a kayaker who faked his own death to buy new sonar equipment. In 2024, Ryan Bogwart carried an elaborate plan to make it appear he drowned when he flipped his kayak in Big Green Lake. He fled to the country of Georgia and had left his wife and children behind. Last year, he was sentenced to 89 days in jail and ordered to pay $30,000. A statement from the DNR said they used around $9,000 to buy a towfish sonar, which can map the bottom of bodies of water for missing people or items. They said it's already been used to help find two missing people. State Senator Chris Kapaga says he's running for the Waukesha County executive seat left vacant by the recent passing of Republican Paul Farrow. Capping his launch on WISN AM's The Dan O'Donnell Show came less than a week after Farrow died from a rare form of cancer. Farrow led the county since 2015. Before that, he served in the Wisconsin legislature and as chair of the state Republican Party. Kamiga said running for Farrow's seat is bittersweet.
It's interesting. Usually you get excited about announcing, and it's, you know, I'm so excited to say, and it's an honor to, but this is just unfortunate, and it's, you know, we've been praying for Amy and the kids.
Kapinga is a staunch fiscal conservative from Delafield who has bucked Republican leaders several times. 2 years ago, he also opposed a Waukesha County sales tax proposal pitched by Farrow and the county board. The Trump administration lowered tariffs on farm equipment through the end of next year. But Harvest Public Media's Emma George Griffin reports some experts say prices on equipment could rise.
Farm equipment manufacturers have been eating extra costs from tariffs over the past year. That's according to Brett Davis, the CEO of the North American Equipment Dealers Association.
They can only eat so much. You know, they're for-profit businesses, and they have to pass that pricing on to the customer. There's just no way around that.
And while the Trump administration lowered tariffs on imported farm equipment, imported steel used in American-built machinery still faces stiff tariffs. At the same time, farmers have been buying less equipment as their profit margins thin due to high fertilizer and fuel costs. I'm Emma George Griffin, Harvest Public Media.
After the break, a small private college in northern Wisconsin closed its doors. Now some donors say it improperly spent the money they gave. Stay with us.
I'm Rachel Lohman. I own Analog Ice Cream and Coffee in Sister Bay. WPR sponsorship has been beneficial for my business because the audience supports business sponsors. The very first day my sponsorship aired, I had a customer come in and say, "Hey, I heard you on WPR this morning. Thanks." The WPR audience has been truly loyal to me as a business sponsor.
Learn more about business sponsorship at wpr.org/sponsor.
Last year, a private college in northern Wisconsin closed its doors due to financial challenges. By the time Northland College in Ashland closed, it had borrowed $22 million from its endowment to fund operations. Now a judge is set to sign off on its plan to dole out what little money remains. As Daniel Kading reports, some donors say the college violated their trust and potentially the law.
Brett Norgaard remembers his son Bjorn as a kind and adventurous kid. While attending Northland College in Ashland, his son volunteered for a local nonprofit group shoveling snow and mowing lawns for seniors. But in 2011, a teenage driver killed the 23-year-old in a hit-and-run crash. After his son's death, Norgaard received a letter from the family of one elderly couple about the time they shared with Bjorn.
The husband had had a stroke and he was not able to speak, but he was alert. And Bjorn would sit down with him and talk about hunting and stuff. And
family and friends created a scholarship fund at Northland in Bjorn's name, along with a second fund that provided financial support to students for various activities. Over the years, Norgaard says they donated at least $156,000 between the two endowed funds. But now, most of the money is gone.
We threw everything into these two scholarships in terms of keeping his memory alive. So it's like a gut punch.
Cars roll by on a busy state highway as I'm in of Northland College in Ashland. Earlier this year, the Northland Board of Trustees revealed it had borrowed $22 million from its restricted endowment to fund operations. It asked a court to release restrictions and approve its plan for doling out roughly $3 million that remained. In a recent hearing, an Iron County judge found the board complied with state law on repurposing funds in line with donor wishes. That law is known as the Uniform Prudent Management of Institutional Funds Act. But Norgaard says the college didn't follow the family's intent under the law, which oversees how institutions manage endowment funds. Northland Board Chair Ted Bristol said the college tried to balance the interests of all involved. In 2024, former Northland president Chad Dayton told WPR that declining enrollment and increasing costs forced the college to borrow from its endowment.
Northland is no longer in a position to rely upon its endowment to cover operational expenses.
Northland's attorney, Courtney Schultz, told the court that the law allowed the college to loan itself money from pooled endowment funds, and it borrowed from restricted funds between 2012 and 2019. Ben Orzeski is chief counsel for the Uniform Law Commission. He says the law doesn't say an institution can't loan itself money.
It would be difficult to structure a type of loan to an institution that would be deemed prudent under the law.
Susan Gary is a retired professor with the University of Oregon School of Law who drafted changes to the law in the early 2000s. She says the attorney general would have the right to review whether violations occurred, but oversight is often limited.
They, of course, have limited resources to investigate things. And so the problem now is, yes, there may have been a violation, but that doesn't really help the fact that the money is gone.
The Wisconsin Department of Justice didn't comment about its review of Northland's funds and the college's request to release restrictions on them. Assistant Attorney General Michael Morris has said he found no clear violations of the law. Rocky Barker with the nonprofit Sigurd Olsen Environmental Institute says it's set to receive around $900,000 of remaining funds. Barker says he trusts the review conducted by the Attorney General's office.
They thought that Northland was handling this legally and properly.
But Norgard and representatives of the nonprofit Meadwitter Foundation say irregularities in Northland's financial reporting and management of funds suggest the college violated the law. Norgard wants the Attorney General's office to take another look.
I'm optimistic that if the truth comes out, that justice will, somehow prevail.
Norgard and Meadwitter fear the case will have a chilling effect on anyone who donates to endowed funds, and students will suffer most. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
And now for a check of the forecast. An extreme heat warning remains in effect through Thursday night in west central Wisconsin. And be aware there is an air quality alert impacting the entire state through noon today. Meanwhile, partly sunny and quite warm with isolated showers possible in the afternoon. Highs likely to reach in the mid-80s north to near 90s south. And then tonight, a 30% chance of a shower or thunderstorm early, then partly cloudy with lows in the mid-60s. And then tomorrow, mixed skies, warm and humid, with temperatures in the 80s north to near 90s south. Thanks so much for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News on this Thursday morning. And if you missed yesterday's podcast, I did announce that our host Alex was expecting his second child, so I was asked overnight to come in and host. And it is my pleasure to announce today that Alex officially has a little boy. Mom and Dad are doing well. And in fact, Alex's little boy is already a Chicago Bears fan. He sent me a photo with him in his little hat, and Alex was already showing him Chicago Bears videos. So a big congratulations to Alex's family, and thanks so much for joining us again, and we'll see you back here tomorrow.